Hey, Alan here.
And the Chris.
And just before the start of this week's episode, we would like to say thank you for listening and also to make you aware that if you enjoy this podcast, there are several other podcasts that we think you could enjoy. Firstly, starting with our own podcasts, I present the DCAU podcast with a friend of mine, Rebecca Hart, where we discuss the animated DC movies.
And if you love my dulcet tones, you can hear me on the Torn and Keel podcast, a weekly professional wrestling podcast. The Tom Buckle Arms, which is a monthly professional wrestling podcast. Or A Happening In, which is a crime slash ghost slash conspiracies slash weird stories podcast.
Also, if you enjoy a bit of robot combat podcasting and you want to hear some more, thoroughly recommend checking out the Botcast list, the link for which is in the episode description. Finally, before we start this episode, a reminder that Rise of the Robots is protected under a Creative Commons 4.0 International Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike International License. Ladies and gentlemen, time for a podcast more awkward than Paul Scholes' daughter's TikTok. I'm Alan.
I'm confused.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots, this week covering Technogames 2001, Day 9.
Do I want to know about that reference or not?
Well, if you want to know about Paul Scholes sucking his own daughter's toes,
then no.
I thought you wouldn't. So, I might need to cut that joke. We'll see. I suppose there's worse things that have happened this week that people have made jokes or rants about. Yep, so day 9 of Techno Games 2001. And we start off with the return of a legend.
No, we don't. Not yet.
Well, the event with the return of a legend. So we have the first two rounds / semifinals of the natural rope climb.
Natural.
So these are robots that have to simulate natural movement.
So we have our first of two races up the rope. We have Big Bug taking on Kebby Pillar. So obviously the usual interviews before the event. The interview, the guys at Big Bug. They
which
ask
is the Cerberus team?
Which is the Cerberus team. I knew I recognised them. They interviewed them and says, so how long do you think it'll take to get up the rope? And he's like, 5 or 6 minutes. And then Ed's like, you're aware this is a race, right? And he says, it's not about the winning, it's the taking part. Because, yeah, said like a real loser.
Well, I mean, not everyone can be a winner.
Well, don't try. That's... If you're not going to win, don't try. That's what I've learned here today, and that's what I'm going to have on my gravestone. If you're not going to win, don't bother.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
All the kids out there, like, if you don't think you're going to win, don't bother trying.
And the kids, if you're listening to this, why? This is an adult-only podcast. We swear too much, motherfuckers.
Shit pen.
So, anyway, its opponent, Kevy Pillar, which is untested, and it does the movement that happens in the graphic of the rope climb. So it does the thing of, it grips the rope with the top, pulls its bottom end up, grips with that, and then kind of like a caterpillar or an insect.
name. Also, like, I can completely tell that despite the fact this is an audio podcast, you are using your hands to describe it.
Yeah.
I can hear your voice there.
So, Big Bug doesn't have the grip, so it's basically just giving the rope a hand job.
Yeah, it's just like grinding the rope like it's a stripper pole.
I love how we both went similar references that are both not suitable for kids.
That's why we're an explicit podcast.
Absolutely.
See, like, we're doing the service of the robot community. This is the adults only podcast. We're probably the only one out there. Adults yeah. Robot Wars podcast.
So, yep. Yeah, so, meanwhile, Kevy Pillar is very slowly making its way up the rope, and it does it in 2 minutes 30.
Yeah, like, I noted that, like, it looks a bit too big of a robot to hold on the rope because it kept slipping, but it eventually makes, like, I think they said in an interview afterwards where it finally got into a groove, and when it got into a groove, it started going up and everything was fine. It just needed a second.
Yep.
2 minutes 34 was the time for Kevy Pillar. And, well, we'll see how that holds on. So it's definitely advanced. And so it's going to take on the winner of Mr. Fire Extinguisher and Skeletron.
Yep. So, they do mention as well that Big Bug was having several major technical issues, which is why it was so poor. So apparently its motor blew just before the race and they had to
put a new
motor in. Yeah.
So Mr. Fire Extinguisher's actual name is called Andrepador. At first, I thought they said Andromeda, and I was kind of just going to go with that.
Yeah.
I realized this is clearly an Irish thing.
Drepa. Absolutely.
Dreapadoir. So, when Ed came over and goes, I think you should just call it Mr. Fire Extinguisher, that's what I've decided to do for the rest of this race.
Not that it really made that much of a difference. It really struggled to get up. Skeletron is obviously the...
Try and lug a fucking fire extinguisher up a rope? You try and do that?
I can't even get my fat ass up a rope, so...
Well, yeah, yes, you and me both, son, but, like, could you imagine trying to get our fat asses up a fucking rope while carrying a fire extinguisher as well? No.
So, what ends up happening is Skeletron wins, and then it starts showboating.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually slower than the previous year.
Yeah, and it's because of all the kind of bits and pieces that it's put into the showboating, which is why, because it gets up in 38.17 seconds, but before the race, they had the interview and they were like, okay, your personal best was about 32 or something like that. I don't really remember. And then they were like, so what are you expecting for this year? And they're like, oh, anything before 30 seconds is what we're aiming for. And it's like, well,
Yeah, she's a bit slower today.
Yeah, she's slower, and the way that they've done it now, because obviously in the first season, the arms actually grip the rope. As well as the legs, but now it is just the legs, so it's only going up on the legs, and that definitely makes it take longer because it's swaying a hell of a lot more. It's not sturdy anymore.
Yeah. Also, we have it pointed out on multiple occasions that it is she. Skeleton is a she.
Apparently.
Yeah.
But this was the first time it was brought up, so Skeletron, the she. So yeah, going back to what you were saying about the showboating, so it wins, it comes down, it extends that one arm, gives a little wave to the crowd, and it's like it's all fantastic. It's got the head that moves about, the glowing red eyes. It looks a lot like a Terminator now.
Yeah, I think that's a deliberate choice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we.
But it is spectacular.
Oh, it's very spectacular, absolutely.
All this was deliberately brought up for a reason that we'll get into later.
Absolutely. Possibly next week.
Ooh. So up next we have Judge.
Yep, next we have Julia in Japan.
And she had a look at this sweet ass robot shop that kind of sells a lot of the stuff that we've been seeing throughout the season, including the robot dogs, the robot cats, and then also introduced us to the robot parrot, which was cute. I liked him. Then you had your robot fish and jellyfish. And then she had a game of robot football, which looked fucking fun as hell. I wonder if this place st still exists.
What was the name of it again?
Good question. Ticking up.
Robocon shop, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Oh.
Not seeing anything come up. I'll just have a look. Japan robot stores. There's robot shop in Tokyo.
Ooh.
Robot Island, Tokyo, the Tokyo Radio Department shops, and there's also, yeah, there's a list of like all the shops. Don't recognize that particular one from the ep. Oh no, I think Robot Shop Tokyo is the one that they depicted.
Yeah, maybe it just changed its name or something.
Possibly. I mean, it has been 20 years.
All I want to know is, do any of them still sell my little buddy from like one of the first episodes? The little yellow-headed robot with the little, like, it looked like it was wearing like a red t-shirt and jeans and danced. I think, yeah, like that was the one where we literally spent 20 minutes like on eBay and Google trying to see if we could find any to buy them.
And yeah, I think there are ones available that are just ridiculously expensive.
Ugh, I'm so tempted though, I love him. Hey guys, Chris here, and we're just going to take a short break to thank our contributors today. The logo was designed by Greg Watt, and the theme song, which you can hear right now, is TechnoAxe with their song Master Machine.
Here's an advert for a podcast we think you'll enjoy. I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of the Phantasm and continuing on to Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
the Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU podcast and subscribe today.
But I'll tell you what else I love, and that's a good old-fashioned sprint.
And that's what we get as we get the second semi-final.
This one sees the racing stag, Cheeky Boy 1, Crazy Critter, and Erica's Body Parts.
So, the Racing Stag, which is made out of Lego and is oddly satisfying to watch. Cheeky Boy 1, which is super satisfying to watch and also referred to by some people as the Parsley Cutter?
Yeah, ching 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 ching. I'm just calling it a pizza cutter, really. Like, you know when you get those giant pizzas and they cut it into like,
yes.
tiny...
Yes.
I feel like Cheeky Boy would be perfect for doing that.
Crazy Critter, which is basically Scuttle from last year.
Yeah.
And Scuttle's as reliable.
Deranged, deranged cousin.
And then Erica's Body Parts, the Nightmare Fuel, which...
Yeah. Pretty much the end of the crime scene and like Black Dahlia murder or something.
Well, she was bisected in the middle, but okay.
Jesus. It was the closest I could think of, alright?
Okay. Well, I mean, it's... Yeah, I get what you mean.
Maybe if you don't shut the fuck up, maybe you'll be bisected in the morning.
Okay. Yeah, like you're well enough to get here.
Oh, when a man is ill, he can do crazy things.
So, yeah. So, unsurprisingly, the very smooth and efficient robot that was the fastest in qualifying is the fastest again. Cheeky Boy 1 wins. Crazy Critter's disintegrated.
Yeah, all his shoes just fly off. It's like he's like doing a Footloose or something.
By the looks of it, Erica manages to get near to the finish line then dies. And
near the finishing lane or just past the start line.
And the Racing Stag finishes in 2 minutes 12 seconds, which is such a shame because it's so beautiful.
I know. It's just, and then like the thing is, it also was kind of veering very slightly off to the right. So when it finished, it was kind of grazing up against the wall. I don't know if that maybe hindered its kind of speed slightly or something, but...
I think that may well have been what happened. Which is, it's a shame, but hey, you know, they did their best.
Yeah, it wasn't about the taking part that counts for them.
Oh, well, absolutely. And as I said, it's still the most beautiful robot in the whole competition to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I could actually have watched it do the 2 minutes and 12 seconds.
Just blah, 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 blah. Ah, it's perfect.
Absolutely.
Just have it on a loop. And I'll just watch it when I'm, like, a bit stressed out or something. Like, you know, you just come home from work and you just need to have, like, a wee moment of, like, de-stress and all that. And then you just plop on Racing Stag, just going for a wee walk. Do, 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 do. You'll be fine in about 5 minutes.
Yep. So... all this means that the only robot from this semi-final to qualify for the next round is the winner, Cheeky Boy 1.
Mm-hmm.
So the final is Millennium Bug, Cheeky Boy 1, Junior, and Scuttle.
Mm-hmm. So at the very least, we're getting a final of all 4 people that have finished the race.
Yep. And then we get the gymnastics.
Yes, the return of the gymnastics. We've seen some of the gymnastics a couple episodes ago. This is the end of that. So we get 4 more teams or robots. I'm not really sure what you want to call it going for this. So first off, we have Flip Flop. which is...
It's that car that you bought when you were 10 that it does a trick that it flips over all the time.
It only goes forwards and backwards.
And I'm sure the first two or three times it did this, it was really exciting. The issue is, that's all it does!
Yep. Just drives forward, stops, does a flip. Then goes back the way, stops, does a flip. Goes forward again, stops, does a flip. And then at one point, it just won't stop going forward and tries to drive off the arena.
So, I mean, at least Kelly Hackman seems to appreciate it. She gives them 8.5 for art and 7.5 for tech, giving them the lead.
Is it not the other way about? Is it not tech then art?
Might have been, I don't know. It got 8.5 for one and 7 for the other.
Yeah, there. We'll go with that. We meet the Dodgy Dancers, which is playing the Full Monty theme song, and you've got one robot driving around in a circle while all the rest of the other robots are just kind of dead, and they've all got characters from the Full Monty on them.
Yeah, it's a thing that exists and happens, and we watch it. It gets 6.5 for tech, 5.0 for art.
Yep. And we meet the Techno Mouse.
Oh, he's cute.
He is cute. And he's got like a little house that he goes into. That was like quite sweet. So Techno Mouse is just pretty much a... what do you call it? Like a line follower robot.
Yep. So
it's just follows the line, like, and has a wee spinning tail and looks kind of adorable and just follows that all the way home. And then even at the point where the gymnastics chick that's on commentary, she's like, "Oh, it's managing to follow the line sometimes more than I do with the beam." It's like having a little fun with it. There you go. I mean,
so
it gets ridiculous for you to be a part of, but like, you may as well have some fun with it while you're here.
It gets 9.5 in the art, which is lovely. Only 6.5 in the tech, which is a bit eh. And that actually prevents it from winning, because it only ends up in second.
Yeah, but I think like with the tech being, it's a robot that follows a line. There's not exactly very much else to it, so...
I suppose. And...
this moves us on to the final robot here. We have Scream, which is very weird that this crops up when I've just been doing nothing but watching Scream-related content recently.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just started watching the TV show and just binged all four of the movies in preparation for the new one coming in January.
It's a shame it couldn't come out a couple months earlier, but oh well.
I know, right? I don't know, but it probably didn't want to step on Halloween Kills toes.
Or Last Night in Soho.
Perchance. I don't really know that one. Is that a horror movie?
Looks like it. It's directed by Edgar Wright, and the way it's kind of built up, it sounds like it's quite horrific.
Interesting. I mean, need to check that one out.
It comes out next Friday.
Sweet. I'll keep an eye out. But nevertheless, we get back to Scream the robot here. This was just weird and creepy.
Yeah, it just kind of slowly bibbles about vaguely to the tune of Bolero. It gets a 4 for art and 5 for tech.
Yeah, because like, you could see the look on the faces of the team that were working Scream, and you could tell that it just wasn't working properly.
Yeah. And it's covered in balloons.
Yeah, it had two balloons like on the edges, on the end of like the kind of spinning arms that spun for a second. And then even, like, the gymnastic girl, she was just kind of like, I don't really know what to make of this.
So, yeah, that is that was the gymnastics, and that was a thing that happened. And yeah, I think
so we have medalists.
Yes, we have our medalists. So, the cheap remote control car wins.
Yep.
From the adorable mouse that everyone actually liked, from
actually had some tech in it.
The thing that the robot that was dancing about a McPolis, which hid the most interesting part of its display under a kilt.
Yeah.
I think that this event continues into 2002 and 2003.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this event's not going away.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it does get better at least.
I'm not gonna lie, I actually do like at least have some amusement when it comes to this event. Like,
yeah,
not the worst event that I have to sit through in techno games by a long shot.
So, this whole episode has been building up
to the big one, the Big Daddy, probably the biggest actual genuine race in techno games.
Absolutely. And in a way, I kind of wish this had been the final race, because this was awesome.
Yeah, like the last thing of the last episode.
I knew that it has to be one or the other. And so it's the grand final swimming as Brutosaurus takes on Flippy Dippy, takes on K9000, takes on Calypso. Now, by right, Calypso should have this in the bag, except for one thing. Which is what actually happens is, because K9000 is bigger, it manages to capture Calypso in its wave before Calypso catches them.
Yeah. Because this was the thing, like, here we go, klaxon. And both of them go at it, like, and see, over time, you can see Calypso is catching up to K9000 throughout the entire race, till it gets literally to the end of the swimming pool, and it is literally a photo finish that first time. Like, well, we're like, who done it? Who won?
It's 0.16 of a second.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just over a tenth of a second. I mean, that's
nothing.
The closest finish, I think, in techno games history.
Yeah, has to be.
I think there are F1 race. You know, I think there hasn't been an F1 race in like 60 years that's finished that close.
Wow. But it's just the way that, like, throughout, like K9000 is in the lead for like practically the entire race, but just the more that the race goes, Calypso is catching up. And I think I noted down here, like, maybe if there was like another two or three like meters, maybe even centimeters, like, now that we're talking about how close it was, Calypso might have been able to overtake K9000, but it just was picked to the post, literally.
Well, I think it's, as I said, what happened is K9000 got a better start.
Uh-huh.
And by the time that the Calypso was able to catch up, it was running out of time.
Yeah. I know, and then, like, there was kind of the interviewed Calypso at the end of the thing saying, like, what happened, and then one of them at least brought up the whole point of, well, it's a lot longer than it is, so it probably would have just hit the at the edge of the pool quicker. And it's like, it's not a bad argument when you really look at it, because it was the snout of the doggo, little doggo nose, that booked the side of the pool.
Yep.
So see if they didn't have that dog head, it probably would have been almost a dead heat.
Absolutely. And I think maybe
even Calypso might have won.
It's a bit like, and we'll get onto this with the natural rope climb. I was saying that it was one of the weird things when you see both of Skeletron's races, you go, just by standing up, Skeletron is so much bigger than every other robot it's facing.
Yeah, which is weird how, you know, in the first season, Simeon was allowed to be at head level of Skeletron for their race because Skeletron was significantly taller. But yet, this season, you know, like, Kevi Pillar had to start at the bottom of the podium.
Yep.
While Skeletron is still head and shoulders and the torso above Kevi Pillar. So why didn't Kevi Pillar get the same treatment of getting to start at the top of Skeletron?
Well, that's not till tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. But knowing that that's coming, it's...
Absolutely.
I mean, so the same argument could have happened with the robot that, yeah, Extinguisher.
So one other note I have, just to get back to the swimming final, is all four robots make it.
Yes, the all finish,
which is so weird in a sprint or swimming race. Yeah.
I know, like, it was nice to see, like, all of them genuinely finish.
Yeah. So, that brings us to the end of day 9. And, we've got... I have to say, day 10, I think, is really special. There are two really awesome events. And one which... I'm sure would have been more awesome if the tension hadn't been taken out of it. Plus, we also find out the winner of the Nesta Prize.
Yes, yeah, like, day 10 was fun all around. And, can't wait to get to it. So in 7 days, we will get to it.
7 days? Surely you mean, like, 7 minutes?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Kayfabe.